I'm going to record this so that we can put it on the website for anybody who wants to join, who wants to see it afterwards. So tonight I'm going to confront the fact that we are all about to have a surreal Pesach experience, a surreal Seder night, and for some of us, this is going to be, we're thinking to ourselves, how do we do Seder? There will be people having Seder literally on their own, in some cases for the first time ever. There will be people having Seder with a different guests or no guests. And I want us to understand how we make this Seder night experience a positive, useful, and enriching experience, despite the fact that it is going to be the most surreal Seder that probably any of us have ever had. And I want to do this by focusing on there are two different things going on at the Seder table. It's two things at once. And in most years, we allow them to conflate together. We allow them to run together. And we don't even really think about these two completely different aspects of the Seder. This year, one aspect of the Seder is a complete write-off for all of us, even those who are going to be sitting around a small Seder table. But for all of us, one aspect of the Seder is a complete write-off. The other aspect of the Seder is going to be stronger and more powerful this year than in any other year. And by giving ourselves clarity on which parts of the Seder are and are not really going to work, I'm hoping that instead of being misled by our regret that we can't enjoy the bit of the Seder that we can't have properly this year, we can really focus on what the Seder will be for us this year. And before I come to these two different aspects of the Seder and explain what they are and which is going to work better than ever and which we should just write off, I will make one little point, and that is, for all of us, I suspect our Seder this year will be one of the shortest that we've ever had. It will certainly be very unusually short. And I have to say, I am probably not the only person who has noticed that some people, particularly the day after, they do tend to judge their Siddurim by what time did you finish, right? Oh yes, we were still eating the soup at 4:30 in the morning. And Baruch Hashem, this year there will be no competition as to whose Seder finished later than anybody else's. And many of the most famous Siddurim in history were also many of the shortest Siddurim in history. And we will all have the opportunity to focus on a short, sharp, and powerful Seder experience. So what are these two aspects? Seder night is two things: Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Leosim. It's a memorial of the going out of Egypt. It's a commemoration of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And it is also a separate perennial ritual which we are told to carry out every single year. Those of us who are addicted to saying the Ma'arovos in the evening service on Yom Tov, will remember. I don't know, Woodside Park, I don't think you do Ma'arovos, do you? Oh, you're all on mute, so you can't tell me, but Mike is shaking his head, so that's fine. But there is one very beautiful piyut for one of the days of Ma'ariv that goes through different aspects: Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Leosid, Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Leosid, the Egyptian Seder, the future Seder, and it compares the two. And I recommend, if you have in your machzor, I very strongly recommend having a look at that piyut this year and focusing on how these two different ideas, some will work differently this year for, and some won't. So the Pesach Mitzrayim represents the obligation, we're commemorating the obligation to bring this Korban Pesach, this sacrifice of Pesach, a sheep sacrifice. And by the way, for those of us who have rather got out of the habit of making sheep sacrifices, which I think is most of us, I have a client who I think I've mentioned from time to time, who is she is a Ghanaian queen mother, which doesn't mean she's the mother of a queen. It means she occupies a ritual religious position in the Ghanaian religious code, and she is the queen mother. And as part of her ritual for re-establishing herself as the, I'll spare you the long story another time, I'll tell you, it's fascinating, but the as part of the ritual of re-establishing her crown, she had to bring korbanos. They brought, and they bring sheep. She was doing much as we would do with the Korban Pesach. She was sacrificing, not personally, but sheep were being sacrificed as part of the ritual. So I agree, it's a bit strange, but they probably think we're a little bit strange as well, and they're probably quite right. So that part of the Korban Pesach ritual, that part of the commemoration, we can forget this year, if essentially. We'll do it, but we forget it because that is a social occasion. The Torah says it's a social occasion. Selabois, selabois. One sheep per household. And it says if your household is too small to accommodate a sheep, bring more people in. Share with other households and make it a social inclusive experience. Well, that we can't do this year. And I think in many years, the social aspect of the Seder and the religious and spiritual aspect of the Seder actually collide and get in the way of each other. We're so delighted that we've got aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, cousins, friends at the Seder, and we're enjoying the social experience of having them all there. And that is quite right. That's part of Pesach Mitzrayim. But it gets in the way of the other very powerful aspect of the Seder that we will come to, which I'm describing tonight as Pesach Li'osid. The every generation has its own Pesach, which is very special and is different from Pesach Mitzrayim. Now, with this in mind, when we start the Seder, we say a declaration that many of us will have already worked out for ourselves is not going to sound very good this year. How are we going to say at the beginning of the Haggadah? Correct, that is indeed the one that I'm thinking of. How are we going to sit at the Seder table and say, Holach ma'anyo, this is the bread of affliction, whatever you want to call it, the acholah of a son of Arad Mitzrayim, that our fathers and our parents, our fathers and mothers, our ancestors ate in Mitzrayim, kol dich bin yesuv yechol. How are we going to sit there at a Seder table where there might be one, two, but whoever's there, we're not opening the doors to guests. Yes, anybody who's hungry, come and eat. Kol ditzich yesuv yifsach, anybody who needs should come and take part in the korban. How are we going to say that this year? Should we say it this year? Should we leave it out this year? Mike thinks we should leave it out. I'm going to unmute in case anybody wants. I'm going to unmute everybody in case anybody wants to make. Should we leave it out this year?
No, certainly not.
Okay, we're not going to leave it out. Then let me ask you, what is your kavana going to be? What kavana are you going to have? When you sit there, Simon, you say, Kol tzitzit yetzu yitzach, Kol dich bin yesu yechu. If someone will knock on your door and say, can I come in? You're saying, I'm sorry, I can't let you in.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I can't hear. What was someone saying?
I'll let somebody in. Of course I will. With certain distance.
I see. You think you let them in within the social distancing guidelines. Okay. But you know what? If somebody who's in a vulnerable category calls you before Pesach and says, can I join you? You have to say no. The advice is, the medical advice is, you stay at home on your own.
So yeah, correct.
There's an aspect that this is, I think we can all agree, there is an aspect that Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel is going to be at least different this year. And what I want to suggest is two things. I'll put everybody back on mute so that the background noise doesn't interfere. But you can unmute yourselves if you want to ask things or say things. So what I want to say is this. Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel, anybody who's hungry, come and eat. Kol Ditzrich Yesu Yisach, anybody who needs a Korban Pesach, come and join in. That phrase with its division represents these two different aspects of the Seder. The Seder is a meal, and the Seder is a commemoration. Insofar as it is a social meal where we gather together, and particularly in Eretz Yisrael, it's lovely. People who don't do anything Jewish the whole year round, people who don't go to Shul Yom Kippur, they still go up to a family or a friend. Yes, Simon, it's an ingathering of the clan. And that aspect this year is out on Seder night itself. But I will tell you what my kavanah will be when I say those words, Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel, and I agree with you, Simon, we will definitely say them, and we will say ourselves as follows. This year, we don't have the opportunity to share our table with everybody who would like to join us. But, just as on Purim, I can't sit down to my Suddas Purim, enjoy my Purim meal, unless I have first done the mitzvahs of Matanos Levyonim and Mishloach Monos, because unless I've made sure that other people are also able to have a Suddas Purim, I can't enjoy mine. So too, when we say Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel on next, whatever it is, Wednesday night, we will all be able to say to ourselves, did we take the opportunity in the days coming up before Seder night to give to good, well-founded local charities and national charities and international charities, so that hopefully everybody who wants a Yom Tov meal on their table has been helped by us to make sure they have a nice kovadik, oinegdika meal, a pleasant, a Yom Tovdika meal on their table. And in a way, I will say Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel with more kavana this year because of that. Because, you know, normally, yes, Mike, do you hear? Because normally, it's the people who are actually around our table, it's a handful. 5, 10, 15, whatever the table is. But this year, because we will all have tried to give to tzedakahs that are looking to see who needs help and support this Pesach, actually the Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel is including all the Jewish community who we have helped throughout tzedakah. And I would go further. One aspect of our Seder this year is about empathy. It's empathy with all displaced people. And I think many of us, we will give to Jewish charities nationally and internationally and locally, but I think many of us will also want to give to non-Jewish charities, or not non-Jewish charities, to charities that look after human beings simply because they're human beings, locally, food banks, organizations that address poverty worldwide. And I think we will want to do that so that the kavana that we will have when we say Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel is a kavana, it's an intention that we have done our part, we have played our part in allowing people of all kinds to sit and have food on that Seder night. And I think that is a more powerful message than in many years where we get distracted perhaps by the family and social aspect of that declaration. So yes, I will be saying Kol Dichvin Yesu Yechel, and I will also say Kol Ditzich Yesu Yisach. But I will be focusing with that second part on the service the aspect of the Seder which is a very personal aspect. And when we come to call to Chayav Odom Nirus Atzmoi, we will remind ourselves that that is about each single person at the Seder table. The celebrant, when we have a big Seder, the celebrant hands to each person their portion of matzah, their portion of moro, whatever it is, all the different things are handed out. And there is that moment, it's particularly poignant with the matzah, because we have to eat a portion of matzah, we have to eat a kazayas, a portion, we have to eat it in silence, concentrating on it, and suddenly, even if you're in a seder with 100 people, there's a complete silence, and every person is on her own or his own, commemorating by eating the matzah, doing the mitzvah of eating the matzah and then the morah. Every person is commemorating privately, even if you're sitting at a seder with 100 people. So this year, that privacy will be that little bit sharp. That moment with God, when we're sitting there, and yes, we're yes, it's a big celebratory meal, but this year we're all eating our celebratory meals together but apart. But it's also that private moment of me and the Rabbeinu Shloim and my commemoration. So what does that commemoration amount to? That I want to talk about a little bit more now. We move from the declaration that we've just discussed, we move to Manishtana. And I think a number of people will have another question. Do we do the Manishtana this year? Right? Are we going to do it at all? There are going to be, as I say, many, many, many of us, thousands, millions around the world, sitting at a private Seder table for just one person. Do we say the Manishtana? I'm going to unmute everybody again for contribution.
Yes.
Okay, and what's the kavod? What's the intent? When we say the Manishtana and we're talking to ourselves, what's going on?
Well, we have to, if we're on our own, we still make Kiddush and so on.
That's true, but that's not a very helpful answer, if I may say so, because Kiddush isn't a dialogue between two people.
No.
Although actually, sorry, I should apologize to you, because actually Kiddush is a very strong example in one sense, because it's Eidus, it's testimony, it's evidence, and actually we don't take evidence of one person. So actually there is a strength in your answer there's an issue there to discuss another time, but it's not a dialogue, yeah. And Manishtana is a dialogue. So who am I kidding that I'm saying questions and answering? There's no business. And it is halacha. Before I go on, does anybody want to say anything on that?
Yes, the Manishtana. It's what's different this year from any other year. Well, huge difference this year. So you can discuss this among yourself as well, if you wish to.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But the form of the Manishtana is questions being asked, and then Avodim Ayinu, they're answered. And it's a form of dialogue. And here there is no dialogue this year. Or for many people, there will be literally no dialogue.
Yes, but you can have a dialogue between, even if you sit on your own, as some people may do, have a discussion within yourself about the difference between this year and any other years.
I think that's missing something. Because what worries me about that answer is someone will sit there thinking, oh dear, I've got to do the Manishtana and I've got to sort of have a pretend discussion with myself because there's no one else here. But it's a shame because it's really a discussion and there's no one here except me to have it with. So I'm going to have an artificial discussion myself. I think that misses something. And I'll tell you what I think it misses, if I may. What I think it misses is as follows. Simon and others know there's a new custom grown up about shiva houses, which I very much dislike. People have started, you know, you go to a shiva house and you say the formal, declaration of consolation. You say Hamokim Menachem Eschem. Yes, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu His Hamokim, He should provide you comfort. Besoy Sharavei Tzion Shalom, as amongst everybody who's mourning Zion and Jerusalem. And Simon, we've discussed this on a number of occasions, right? There seems to be a fashion growing up of people wanting to suddenly show that they know Hebrew grammar. So if there's a single ovel sitting there, they don't say Hamoki Menachem Eschem, they say Hamoki Menachem Oischo, you singular. Or if it's a woman sitting, she would say Oisoch, again, singular female, you singular. And I know we're desperate for another six new chumras and another 10 ways of showing how we know better than our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. But, I mean, just stop for a moment. You know, the rabbis did know grammar, right? The rabbis also knew a little bit of Hebrew grammar. It's just like, again, the modern thing about Shabbos Kodshecha on Shabbos Mincha, right? It's not necessary. Again, the rabbis knew that Yonuchu Vom is plural. I'll do this digression quickly because a couple of you are looking a bit baffled. So I'll just digress for a moment, which will be no surprise to anybody. The tefillah for Shabbos, it has a difference. Friday night, we say Yonuchu Vo, right? They shall rest in it, which is third person feminine singular. Shabbos morning, we say Yonuchu Voi, which is third person singular masculine. They shall rest in it. And Shabbos afternoon, we say V'yonuchu Vom. They shall rest in them. So some of the modern Sidurim want to change Mincha time. They change not Shabbos Kodshecho and the Yonuchu Vom, because that's plural and Shabbos is singular. So they change it to Shabbos Kodshecho V'yonuchu Vom. And that gets it completely wrong. Again, the rabbis knew their grammar, right? The rabbis knew as much grammar as anybody today. But they wanted to make the point that Shabbos goes through three distinct stages. Friday night, it's Shabbos Hamalka. It's a gentle, feminine, if you like, aspect, Yonuchu Va. Shabbos morning, it's more energetic, it's more outgoing, it's lost its stereotypical feminine aspect, it's become V'yonuchu Voi. And Shabbos Mincha, I'm now thinking, how do I take Shabbos into the week and into the succession of Shabbosos? And therefore, that Shabbos has a plural aspect because I'm concentrating on the series of Shabboses that will come. V'yonuchu Vom, this Shabbos. So it's still single Shabbos. So the same is true here. The same is true here about Hamoki Menachem Eschem. The rabbis knew perfectly well that sometimes you'll have a single person sitting Shiva. And if they'd wanted to change that so that it says Hamoki Menachem Eschem, they would have done it. Why didn't they? Because to change the grammar completely misses the point of what we say to the ovel at that point. We're saying to the ovel, whether it's one ovel or three ovel, we're saying, you are not on your own. It feels to you like you're on your own. In avelus, a person feels very, very lonely. And some people will feel more lonely in avelus than they've ever felt before. And that's why we say to them, Hamoki Menachem Eschem. At the moment when you are feeling most lonely, remember that you are part of a family, a tradition, a community, a human race, a history. You have ancestors, you have people who came before, you have people who come after, you have a community today, Jews worldwide, human beings worldwide who are empathizing with you. And that's the point of going to a shiva, Simon. Are you with me, Simon? This is why I don't like this, because the whole point of going to a shiva is to say to somebody, you don't have to feel alone, we're here with you. So I want to say to you that saying the Manish Tunnel, saying, well, it should be a dialogue, but there's no one else here, so I'd better do it for myself as a dialogue, isn't quite getting the point. The point of the power of this year's Sadorim is Manish Tunnel, who am I asking the question to? I'm asking it to that invisible community of which I am always part, but which sometimes, when the table is crowded with family and friends, I forget to think about. I forget to see myself in the context of the Jewish history, Jewish ancestry, and the Jewish community, and the human community around the world. But this year, sitting at my own table, one person sitting at their table, they're asking the question to the notional, to the crowded room, crowded with memories, crowded with associations, and crowded with the feeling of all the people who are with us in spirit, who are with us empathizing with us today, where we all empathize with each other's loneliness. And the fact that this Seder, more people will be feeling lonely than in probably any other Seder night in human memory, means that we should all be feeling less lonely, because this is the year when we are all most able to empathize with each other. And I can bet you there will not be a single Seder table around the world, right, where people won't be missed, where they won't be thinking, what a shame we couldn't have so-and-so, what a shame we could. So we're all together. This year, we're all in it together. We are all missing other people's company, and therefore we are all able to take the same comfort in knowing that we are part of a tradition that is greater than us, that we have our ancestors behind us, we have our family. They don't have to be round the table with us to be part of our continuity of life, to be part of our human empathy. And we know that the community, the family, friends, and everybody is with us this year in a very powerful way. Now, I think that is the essence of what will make this Seder night, Mietz Hashem, these two Sadorim, for those of you who haven't gone to, for our non-Israeli contingent, that it will make it more powerful and more exciting as that second part of the Seder experience, which is the connection with those who aren't there, because they are our fathers and our mothers who came out of Egypt personally, and every one of the chain since then, every one of the chain of ancestry since then, we will feel them with us more sharply because we're not distracted by the present. This is a time, we will be able to see ourselves, to feel ourselves as part of that chain of tradition, and to feel that all those people are there in the room with us, both those who belong to previous generations and those who are presently here but are not in the room with us. So I will say the Manish Tunnel, and I will be singing it to the people who will be answering from their Seder table in the past, in the present, and indeed in the future. Moving on, and I'll just unmute in case anybody wants to. I've just unmuted everybody in case anybody wants to say anything or ask anything up to that point.
I was just going to say that it's also a thing about hope and about anticipation for next year.
So we'll come to Lashon HaRabah B'Yerushalayim. I'll tell you what I think about that later on. But carry on. Tell us what you think now. I will come to that. But tell us what you want to say about that now.
What I was thinking about was the people who had Sadarim in the camps, who literally didn't know from one day to the next if they were going to survive.
Didn't have
a proper Pesach meal, didn't have matzah, and still they did all of this.
Yeah.
In the hope that, please God, they would survive and they would come in the future and have a Seder again. So that's what I think, that's what I'm thinking about, really. It's not as bad for us as it was for them, and yet they managed, so we will manage too.
Yeah, and it's not only, I agree with that, but it's not only about hope for the future that we will be able to have a bigger Seder next year, it's that the size of the Seder doesn't matter. We are at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're at one with God and at one with our ancestors, irrespective of who is around the Seder table. Yeah,
I understand. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And we'll come back to that at Lashon HaBov Yerushalayim in a few minutes' time. Anybody else have anything to say up to that point? Okay. So I'll just pop everybody back onto the mute. Right. Well, let's talk about the four sons. And how is the four sons going to be different this year? How is our understanding of the four sons going to be different? Mike, you feel free to unmute yourself. You look as though you want to address us on that. Okay, again, very often when we're facing a crowded Seder table, we focus on the four sons as four different kinds of person. And it's a common idea, and we look around and we joke and we say, who's more like this and who's more like that? I've said to you many, many times, I've said to you my understanding, my favorite understanding of the four sons, based on the fact that the Chochem and the Rosha, the wise son and the wicked son, both actually ask the same question. They both say, what does it mean to you? We tell off the wicked son for saying you and not including himself. We don't say that to the Chochem. I've said this to you many, many a time, so I'm going to go through this very fast. And just then I want to show you how it's slightly different this year. But what I've said to you in the past is the Chochem, he wants to be frum. He says, what are these statutes and rules and laws that Hashem commanded you? And you tell him some laws of Pesach, and you say, don't eat after the Afikoim. Madness. Somebody's coming to you and they say, explain to me the essence of Judaism. Tell me the essence. Tell me what's the main feature of Judaism. And we say to them, oh, I'll tell you what it is. The main law, the most important thing to tell you is don't eat after the Afikoim. Madness. How is that telling him anything? Right? So we've said to each other in the past that, and I believe this is the explanation of the Malbim, but I've never found it in the Malbim Haggadah, but I believe it is the explanation of the Malbim. We've said that the Chochem makes the following mistake. He says, I want to be Jewish, I want to be frum, because why? Because I want to be part of the community. But I can't be bothered to look into what it all means. Tell me what to do and I'll do it, but don't bother me with explanations. His child, he is cursed with a Rasha who should really be translated not as the wicked son, but the intelligent son, the discriminating son, who says, explain to me what you're doing and I will do everything I can understand I want to do. But his father, the Chochem, says, and Chochem has never been a compliment, right? Chochem is always something of an insult, right? It means clever clogs or something a bit ruder, right? And his son says, his father says, I don't know, I never bothered to inquire. I was always very frum, I always kept all the halachas, but I didn't want to ask what they were all about because that didn't matter terribly much to me. And the Rosha says, that's not a religion for me. I will do the bits that you can explain to me. What you can't explain to me, why should I do them? I'm not stupid, I'm intelligent. If you can give me a reason, I'll do it. If you can't give me a reason, I won't. So the Rosha takes the bits that make sense to him or her, and they'd leave the rest. So their child is Tom. Tom doesn't mean simple, it means deficient. And they are deficient because they are only able to choose from the things that happens to make sense to the Rosha, to their parents. So they choose from a deficient menu, and the result is that in three generations' time, the thing becomes a few cultural fragments, and their child is She'eni Yodei Elisha. She or he can't even frame an intelligent question because it's just a menu of a few cultural fragments that happen to come back from three generations. From everything to nothing in four generations. But it's not from everything to nothing. Because the Chochem was also nothing. The Chochem, she or he, was keeping the rules without bothering to understand it. We're not interested in that. fact. And that's why we say to them, what's the halach of Pesach? The halach of Pesach is ein maftirin acha Pesach hafikoyim. Don't think about the Seder. Think about what comes after. Make sure that the taste of the afikoyim lingers in your mouth and changes your behavior as you're walking out of the Seder and for the rest of Yom Tov and for the days after Yom Tov, because a Judaism that makes you a different person on the street is a Judaism worth having and is a Judaism that your children will wish to share. Those core values, your children will aspire to share. But a Judaism that is about sitting at the Seder table as a dry ritual and only concentrating on it as a dry ritual, that is a sterile Judaism. And that Judaism is going nowhere, and any intelligent child will reject that Judaism as being spiritually worthless. Now, here comes here's the Chiddush for this year. Ad Kan, I've just said what we've said to each other on many years. But I think there's an interesting Chiddush this year. Because in the past, we look around the Seder table, say, who's more like this, who's more like that, and we talk about how the Torah speaks to different people in different ways. The Rosha is given a masculine form, yes. The parent, when it comes to the She'enya de'elisha, is given a feminine form. At you in a softer feminine way, you try and help them. But I think this year we will focus on something else. This isn't for children. This isn't for different personalities. This is four parts of everybody's personality. And sitting at the Seder table on our own, in twos, in ones, in threes, we won't be looking to see which people are more like these different personalities. We will be looking inside, each of us will look inside himself or herself and say, which bits of my personality are more like these different sons? And I don't know if you remember, Simon, I wrote once this about the Chadgadia. Do you remember about how it represents the different aspects of personality within it? Yeah, I might go over it soon, maybe just very quickly, because I wrote it somewhere. Please want to see. But it's the Chadgadia is a psychological poem. It's about the different aspects of the individual psyche. And this year, the four sons will be reflecting on how the different parts of my personality reflect those different parts of those different aspects to which the Torah talks. And I think if we have a very short Seder, and as I said, I think Sidurim will be short and sharp and sweet and powerful this year, this is one of the key parts to focus on. A bit like I always tell you, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, I always say, come to shul, say unasane tokif, and then you can go home, right? Particularly if the choir is performing, Mike, if the choir is performing nicely, then do unasane tokif and come home, go home. I think the four sons this year will be the spiritual epicenter of the Seder, because they are a challenge to look into our own minds and say, is a bit of me too clever for its own good? Am I a bit of a chochem? Is a bit of me a rosha? Is a bit of me too demanding of explanations that I can't expect to get, and too quick to reject something on the basis that I'm not given a full explanation? Tom, is there a part of me that's a little bit deficient? Is there a part of me that doesn't have the resources to express itself fully? What can I do this year without allowing the afikoman to leave my mouth? What can I do to acquire those resources so that next year I'll be a little less of a Tom? And She'enya de'elisha, to the extent that I sit here at my Seder table thinking, I'm finding it hard even to express the questions that will lead me to internalize the core Jewish values that are found in the Seder. So will I use that time to ponder in calm, in peace, what questions I want to ask myself, not distracted by the fact that everybody else is now halfway through the matzah or the morrow, whatever it is, but to concentrate on those questions. And here I do agree with the gentleman. I can't see you on the screen anymore, so I think you've turned your video off. But the gentleman who said he's going to be saying Manish Tana to himself, here I do very much agree. This, I think, will be, we will be saying the four sons to ourselves. We'll be looking for an introspection and asking ourselves which parts of our personality reflect different aspects of the four sons. That's right, there you are again. Which parts represent those four personalities? And I will be saying the four sons very much to myself. Okay? Moving on quickly, because we've got time for just a couple more points before we finish. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump a little bit and then maybe come back to some of the middle parts if there's time. But I want to jump to the mitzvahs of the Seder and ask ourselves again, what kavanah will we have for the mitzvahs that we normally share with everybody that now we're doing on a more personal basis? Matzah is a mitzvah, as I say, that's the one part of the Seder that we always feel very personal, because everybody's quiet. We're all eating the matzah, there's no noise, and we're just focusing. Matzah is the one part of the Seder that you cannot share. And I want to add something. I'll explain that, but I want to add something to the classic understanding of the symbolism of matzah and chometz. Chometz is puffed up, it's aggrandized. Matzah is the more modest. It hasn't been aerated, it hasn't been blown up. It's just the very basic. It's the modest food. But there's something else that we notice about the difference between those two kinds of food. You make a big loaf. You make a big loaf of bread, and you cut it into lots of pieces, and everybody shares it. Matzah is something, it's a personal portion. You eat a piece of matzah. It's not slices that you all hand round of one big loaf. These are personal portions, a very personal thing. And modesty and humility has to be a very personal thing, right? It is quite difficult to show off about how modest you are. Well, it can be done, but then it rather disturbs the point of the exercise. To reflect on the need to go back to a more humble relationship with God. One or two of you joined into the shiur I gave a couple of weeks ago, Hatznei Olecha Simulekecha, about modesty and Keil Melech Ne'eman. The idea here, represented in the matzah of humility, is an idea that can best be pondered on one's own, or perhaps with a couple of people. But it really is a very personal, each person's got a personal message. So the matzah this year, again, is, do I need to deflate my personality a little bit this year? Do I need to recalibrate my relationship with God? Do I need to reassert my modesty and humility in front of the Malchus Shamayim, the kingship of heaven? And by the way, what is one of the best ways of reasserting our humility and our modesty? Back to Unasane Toikif, by the way, where there are big parallels here between Unasane Toikif and what we're saying this evening. One of the best ways is what we say after Unasane Toikif, Ushuva Usafila Utsadoka, that regrets and davening and prayer and giving charity. This is key here as well. A person who wants to become modest and humble, the best way to do it is to share our brachas with other people, to share our blessings with others, to remember, if the Rabbeinu Shlomo has given me blessings, whether it's of resources, money, talents, koiches, energy, whatever brachas the Rabbi Shem has given me, the best way to avoid feeling that there's something, there's some merit in me, but to remember that Hatsnei Aleches and Lokech is to share them with others. And I think the message of the Matzah will be to recalibrate our own self-worth, which is not about lacking in self-confidence. A Yid does not lack self-confidence. On the contrary, we've started off with Manishtana, we've started off with reminding ourselves we share in the ability to put into practice core Jewish values which make us part of the most wonderful nation in the world and part of wonderful humanity. We're not lacking in self-confidence, but sometimes we need to recalibrate the basis of our self-worth and make sure that it is our confidence is based on our knowledge that we are doing our best to share our brochas with other people. Let me pause on that very briefly before I come tomorrow. I've unmuted if anybody wants to challenge or comment. No. Okay. So let me come to... Yeah. Did somebody want to say something?
There was a question about the fifth son.
Michael Korsberg.
Yeah, okay, go on. You can tell us about the fifth son.
That is not interested in any respect at all.
Enoch Anami, he's not even there. You're absolutely right. And what I will say about that is that of course fits with the four cups and the fifth cup. The fifth cup is the tantalizing cup that nobody is entitled to drink on their own. And we wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to come. I know some years, Simon, I say a different thing about the fifth cup, and it's about the Hevesi, but we're running a bit out of time. So I'll spare us that one this time. I'll say another aspect of the fifth cup is this. The fifth cup is the cup that until we're drinking it with other people, be Yerushalayim, in a rebuilt world where everybody is sharing their brochis, sharing their blessings equally, the fifth cup is unattainable. It's there on the table, tantalizing us, but it's not for us to drink. It's for us to aspire to travel towards. Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and when we create a world where people are sharing their blessings, are sharing their energies, are looking after each other, when we share properly all our blessings, then we'll be able to drink the fifth cup together, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. So now I want to talk very briefly about Mora. And I don't think I have to say very much for people to understand that this year we are in a better place to eat, to do the mitzvah, to really be mekayim the mitzvah, to understand the mitzvah of Mora than we are most years. The mitzvah of Mora is the mitzvah of empathy with other people's suffering. That's what it is, literally. We are to take a food that tastes bitter. We don't normally do that, right? Mike, I can only half see you now. I always keep an eye on you to check that I'm making sense. Yeah, are you with me on this, Mike? Yeah. We don't believe in eating unpleasant things. In Judaism, we like to look after ourselves nicely, and we don't believe in ascetic practices. We don't go in for starvation as a spiritual good. Yeah, we like the nice things. Yeah, am I making sense? Yeah, it's an unusual thing that we eat the morrow, and we do it again. We don't eat something absolutely poisonous or horrible. In fact, the Gemara is very clear. All of us have sat at Seder tables with young teenagers who insist on having more morrow than's good for them, and then they're knocked out for the rest of the evening. That we've all seen. But that's not correct. It's a token, but it's a very powerful symbol. It's a symbol of empathizing with bitterness that other people feel. And wow, Is that going to be a powerful symbol this year, more powerful than it is any other year? Because it's quite hard to do that meaningfully when I'm sitting surrounded by everybody I want and everything I want and everything's fine. And this year, nothing is quite fine for anybody. There is nobody in the world this year. How often can we have said that? How often in living memory have we been able to say that this year there is nobody around the world who can say that for them everything is fine? So this year is an opportunity when I eat the moro and I taste that little bitterness, and that reminds me to just focus on the bitterness that some people are eating every mouthful of every day, so to speak. And it reminds me to empathize, and it reminds me to put myself in the place of suffering past, present, and future. I can be Mekayem in the mitzvah of moro. I can keep that mitzvah in a very powerful way that I would say we will probably keep better this year than any other year. But in the spirit of the four sons, it's no use if that bitterness makes us feel bad for a moment until we get onto the chicken soup, and then that, fine, I've empathized, I've done. I've been Mekayem my mitzvah of empathizing with people, now give me the soup. That mitzvah of empathy has to lead to achah pesach afikomen. It has to linger in my mouth after the afikomen. It has to change my behavior when I leave the Seder table. And I think we will therefore be making kabbalos, we will be making decisions, determinations, we'll be making commitments to ourselves. And yes, partly we'll be talking about sharing brachos as out of humility, as I said, from the matzah, but we'll also be making commitments to give tzedakah, to give time, to give enthusiasm, to give energy to people who do not have the same sweetness that we have to our lives. And here again, like the four sons, it isn't that some people need help and others don't, because we all have sweetness in our lives that other people don't, and we all have bitterness in our lives that other people don't. And again, we will feel a community, we will feel a harmony with other people that will enable us to think, Baruch Hashem, I have this bracha, I have this sweetness that I can contribute to other people. And everybody will, there is nobody who can't give, and there is nobody who can't receive. And this will be a powerful message of the combination of the mitzvahs. And this, by the way, is the meaning, and I, as you know, occasionally I like to say something I haven't already said 100,000 times before in other years, so I'm going to say something I know is definitely something I've not said to you before. You know the Korech, when you put the matzah and the moro, and you add charosis to it, yes? And what's the reason for the Korech? I challenge anybody to give me a really good symbolism from the Korech. You're all unmuted. Come on. Anybody tell me what they get from Korech? What do you add? When we do Korech, what do you add to the moro that you didn't add when we ate the moro on its own? We add? We add the charosis. What's the charosis? The charosis is a strange mixture. It's a mixture of sweetness. It has components in it that are sweet, but it also has components in it that remind us in symbolism of the slavery as well. So the Korech is as follows. Every person is handed, or will hand themselves, a combination. Everybody gets moro, bitterness. Everybody gets charosis. And it's brought together within the humility of the matzah on the top and the bottom. And people are being told, don't think you're a moro person. And don't think you're a charosis person. Don't tell me your life is perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. And don't tell me your life is desolate without any brocha. Everybody's life has brochas. And we combine the two, because the message of the Koirech is what we have to do is combine each other's brachas, combine each other's blessings, each other's sweetnesses, each other's bitterness. I have to use the sweetness in my life to relieve the bitterness in someone else's, and I have to allow them to use the sweetness in their life to alleviate the sorrows and the sadnesses and the regrets in my own life. We have to allow each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses to come together and work together. So again, we unite in a community. We drink the fifth cup together, finally, in a community where everybody's strengths is supporting everybody else and compensating for their weaknesses. Okay, I'm nearly out of time. I won't talk about the Chag Gadya because I'm out of time to do it properly. It is on the, if somebody wants to see it, that my explanation of the Chag Gadya is a psychological poem about different aspects of personality. It is on my blog site, which you can get through my website. And if you want to look at it before the Seder table, before the Seder night, then you may want to think about it at Seder night. But I'm going to, on Koirech, Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel, right? Why was it Hillel who did this? Yes, who brought this together? Hillel and Shammai. Which of Hillel and Shammai was more concerned about other people? Hillel. Yeah? It's about Hillel wanted, Shammai focused on themselves becoming spiritually high. Hillel focused on everybody helping each other to become spiritually high. And the Koirech, therefore, am I making sense? Somebody nod so I can see that I'm making sense to somebody. Or you can shake your head if I'm not, and then I'll start again. But okay, a couple of nods. So this is the Hillel that the Koirech represents, that bringing together people, because that was Hillel's spiritual leadership. That was the base Hillel. Their concern was that people should share sweetness and bitterness together and allow the one to rule out the other. So in the last minute or 2 minutes that I have, I will pick up, I think was it Susan, somebody was talking about Lashon HaBor B'Yerushalayim. Just passing over, by the way, to say, I'm not sure, in our neighborhood, we've been coming out of the house. We haven't been having a minion in the street, because in our neighborhood, we certainly shouldn't do that. It's certainly not correct. It's against the government's guidelines. Simon, I know it's different. Or no, Graham was saying it's different for them where they are, but for us, we certainly can't. But Friday night, in our road, we've been coming out and standing on our doorsteps, literally nobody joining anybody. We've been standing on our doorsteps and we've been singing Shalom Aleichem together in the street. It was very nice. So I made the joke that we must remember not to do that for Shvoi Chamoscha when it comes to saying, because I don't think that will go down very well with the neighbors. They've been okay with Shalom Aleichem. I'm not sure they'd love Shvoi Chamoscha together. So we'll do that separately. That Lashon HaBor B'Yerushalayim, this year, our focus on that will again be more powerful because everybody is missing the same things this year. Simon and Graham and Eve and Anna, who will be sitting in Yerushalayim as our Jerusalem, our Yerushalmi contingent, will also be feeling the same sense of loss that we will be feeling this year. And Lashon HaBor B'Yerushalayim will be a shared hope that the Yerushalayim that we will build in this Pesach Eosid will be a Yerushalayim that is a beacon to the world of the ideas that we celebrate, that we feel at the Seder table, of empathy, of modesty, of humility, and of the power to come together with the Koichos, with the energy that we get from our Jewish ritual and our membership of the Jewish community, past, present, and future, that will bring those koichos all together, and we'll reach out for the fifth cup all together, and we'll share the fifth cup together in the streets of Yerushalayim as a celebrating a world of empathy, of sharing, of caring, and of building a spiritual world based on our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings to us and our wish to share them with all our fellows. I wish everybody it's going to be a weird Seder night, but I wish everybody a very enjoyable Seder night, that we get up from the table after 20 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever we spend, there won't be anybody to tell in shul tomorrow when you finished your Seder this year. No one will care. But we'll get up after our however minutes we spent, feeling that that ritual has enabled us to teach ourselves a lesson of incorporating core Jewish values that will linger Acha HaPesach Afiko. Good night, everybody. Thank you very, very much. And you're all on unmute if you want to say goodbye to each other. You're now all unmuted. And I wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach this year as in other years.
Amen. Thank you very much, Shakar.
Thank you, Daniel. You've agreed. 22nd of April, an hour earlier. And I'll circulate people.
Imyot Sasha.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, everybody.
Elaine and Jeffrey coming in as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely. Simon, thank you for organising as always. Mike, thank you as well.
And the same thing happened at the Thai shoes last. They asked if it wasn't. I said it was me, but here they have it
on. Okay, I'm going to tell. I see, that sounds like I can hear the Bernstein family. Yes. Yeah. Nice to hear you.
We greatly enjoyed what you said.
Thank you. Well done.
And you were very well behaved like this on the screen. Lovely to hear you. All the very best. Have a good Yom Tov.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom, chag sameach, and shkoyach.
Shabbat shalom, chag sameach to you, shkoyach, Michael.
Good night. I'm never going to stop it. Exit full screen. Exit, that's it. Want to leave this meeting? Yes. Yeah. That's it.